In this era of danger, spin, and blather, independent voices on the airwaves are more valuable than ever.
And beginning on Wednesday, February 12th, WBAI Radio will be seeking your support in our winter fun drive.
Join us as we celebrate Black History Month and celebrate the vast array of local and national programming available on this air, even as we keep an eye on the powers that be.
Join us in the tally room to take pledges from your fellow listeners and meet the staff.
To arrange a volunteer shift, please call Pauline at 212-209-2827.
That's 212-209-2827.
Join us as a member and support WBAI in this most crucial of days.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York. Time is 7:01. Time for Off the Hook. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here, back in the studio after a prolonged absence. And Jeff, I want to thank you personally for filling in and making sure things go as crazy as they usually go.
It was my pleasure. I couldn't think of a better way to start the year off.
Yeah, yeah. And here we are in mid-February, so it's a good time after the start of the new year. I guess, you know, the theme is new beginnings, because there are so many new beginnings in the air around here, around the country, around the world, and it's kind of inspiring, and I hope that's what we bring out in people tonight is inspiration. Hopefully that'll translate into some fundraising as well, because that's also why we're here tonight. In an extended program, we're going from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock tonight, a special edition of Off the Hook. And I want to welcome everybody else in the studio as well. Well, say hello.
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 All right, everybody's there. That's good. It's good to know the mics are working. Okay, how many of you went to the demonstration on Saturday?
Ooh, me.
You went. Okay, Sarah, if you were there. Yeah. And Mike, I assume you were there.
I was there.
Yeah, you were at the IMC, too, working on their website.
I was all kinds of places.
Yeah, you split in two at one point, too. That was something to behold.
How did I do that?
I don't know how you did that. I was hoping you'd know. But you were in two places at once. And, well, it was quite an accomplishment, and you got a lot done as both people. Jeff, were you at the demonstration?
No, I had work to finish up before I came into the city, but I did make it in that night, and as I came in to the Port Authority, everyone mm-hmm. was leaving with their signs.
Yeah, you went to the toy fair.
Yes.
Which is, you know, an extension of the demonstration, really, you know, when you think about it. You know, what better way than through toys to you know, bring peace to the world?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're fighting the fight in your own way, and...
And it was fun to get stranded in the city for an extra day.
Well, because of the snow, yes. we had lots of snow as well. And for people archiving this in the future, we had one of the biggest snowfalls ever, I think the fourth largest in the city.
Yes.
Which, you know, I think it's great. I'm all in favor of it. But, you know, it's not that big a deal. You know, after one day, everybody got out of it, and people were walking around. There was no problem. Everything was open. All the streets were passable, so... You know, I don't think it calls for 24-hour news bulletins and things like that. I don't think we did that here on WBAI. I think we pretty much said, hey, folks, it's snowing outside, you know, and that's it. Let's get on with our programming.
And I was at the Javits Center every day. Mm-hmm. We didn't stop it. It was still open.
Could you get out of the Javits Center, or were you stranded in the Javits Center?
No. Okay. No, we were in and out.
But you were stranded in New York City, right?
Well, if you want to call it stranded, I was staying with friends, so mm-hmm. it was a good stranded.
Oh, would they have called it stranded, or no? Jim, yes.
I just want to say that a local newscaster, a guy by the name of Christopher Jones on Fox News, made a great point, which mm-hmm. is relevant. Before the snow, everybody's worried about duct tape and plastic. Uh-huh. Snow comes, and we're getting back to the business of normal life. Uh-huh. Snow, bread and milk, salt, shovels, the whole bit.
Uh-huh.
And,
I don't understand this whole duct tape business. And for those of you who are just waking up out of comas and things like that, I think Tom Ridge really regrets what he said as far as telling people to go out and get duct tape to prepare themselves against terrorists. First of all, I don't know what duct tape is going to do. I guess you can seal your windows or something like that.
That's the theory.
But he actually had to go on TV and tell people, please don't seal your windows now. Don't buy too much duct tape. You know, this is for the future. It's not for now. It's really, the whole thing is very, very silly.
Well, just to be serious and technical and quick,
mm-hmm.
there things are wrong with this idea in general. Duct tape is supposed to prevent noxious substances seeping in. Number one, they're going to seep in through cracks in your door and cracks in your wall anyway.
Well, if you put duct tape over everything, though, then...
Well, why don't you just get an inflatable tent or something, or an environmental hazard suit, or your scuba suit, or whatever.
Well, imagine an apartment completely covered with duct tape. You don't have to paint it. You don't have to maintain it. It's just, you know, it's safe. I think it's something we should look
won't
into.
Won't be able to breathe either.
Yes.
And
well, I was going to say that... you'd suffocate, and plus there's a guy in the...
Well, suffocation is preferable to being, you know, terrorized by terrorists, don't you think?
Well, I mean...
If that's the sacrifice we have to make...
Let's experiment. You suffocate, I'll be terrorized.
Well, okay, well, I'll consider that.
I thought the plastic and duct tape, we put the bag over your head, wrap the tape around your neck, and that would solve the problems.
That works.
Well, there's some people I could suggest that for. But, you know, there was a report on CNN. I love watching these things because they're so funny. They were talking about, I think it was on that Talk Back Live show, they were talking about the duct tape panic, and they were doing this whole feature on depleting supplies of duct tape in stores. And they showed a shelf in a major store that had many different labels for duct tape, you know. And they were all, sure enough, empty. But the thing that they missed, the thing that everybody missed, was the fact that all the labels for duct tape were spelled D-U-C-K in the store, which just points out how illiterate everybody is out there, you know, stocking these shelves. They actually call it duct tape, as if you're taping a duck or something.
There's actually a trademarked brand of duct with a T tape called duct with a K tape.
Oh, really? Well, maybe that was... I don't think so.
No, I don't think make think that many different varieties.
Yeah.
Or competitors.
We should tell the people that the color is orange, in case anyone has been trapped in a cave.
You mean the alert color?
Color is orange.
Now, that happened since our last show, right?
Right.
Okay, so
we just want to keep people posted who rely on us.
Yeah,
we're
being chastised by our listeners for not announcing it, but it happened after the show, so...
No. It happened before our last show.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
I have a strange feeling of discussing it.
Well, anyway, that's because it happened once before.
Okay.
You know?
New York's orange, anyway.
Yes.
New York City was in orange alert since September.
Okay, you know what?
10.
You just bought into the exact same thing everybody else is buying into, because they, all the news reports are saying New York has been in condition orange since September 11, 2001. They're all saying that. Now, there was no condition orange on September 11th. When did they come up with a color scheme? They didn't do it that day.
Good point.
Yeah. It's been rewritten into history. That's not what they're saying. They're saying 2001.
They said September 10th, 2002.
Really?
That's what they said. That's
well,
the
that might
thing
that
I
might be more accurate, but check the newspapers.
That's
the
about
broadcast.
The date that they started. It was very close to the one-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So I've
heard 2001 said many, many times, and it's...
people misspeak.
It's really annoying, but it's becoming fact, and that's why you have to be careful with how things are reported. Now, there's some new developments today. Speaking of new beginnings, this is kind of an interesting beginning. There's a new website out there, a new .gov site. Sarah, what's it called?
What's it called?
Are we ready?
Yes.
We have to be ready to get to this website.
I'm ready. This computer here, is this computer actually hooked up?
It should be.
There's been a lot of changes since I came here last. This is actually hooked up to the internet.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. How long have we been trying to get this done?
It's been done, you weren't here. It's been done for at least 2 months or so.
2 months? What, they put it in as soon as I left?
That was the idea.
Okay, well, so I can actually go to websites if I can figure out how to get out of this Windows operating system. To begin, click your username. I don't have a username. Oh, we have to hack into this now.
And one of the things on the right is the username.
Uh-huh. One of the things on the right is the username?
The column on the right contains the usernames.
It doesn't contain the passwords.
One of them should be, like, I think a general one, I would assume, because
okay,
let me
try that.
First one.
Did you forget your password? You can click the question mark button to see your password hint. Okay, that's password hint. I don't know what password hint. Okay, I'm going to try somebody else's password then. I can't believe I'm doing this on the air. I think I know what this person's password is. No, no, that's wrong. Okay, I'm going to try this one over here. Oh, I got in somehow. I'm in something. All right, I don't know. I'm sorry, whoever I just hacked into. they have 38 new messages. Okay, well, you see, you know, if there was an account set up for me, I wouldn't have to do this. But since I just want to get into, I guess I have to open Explorer. Let's go to, what is it? What is it again? Ready.gov?
Ready.gov.
Ready.gov. Okay, and this is a site that actually was started today from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Terrorism forces us to make a choice. Don't be afraid. Be ready. Yes. So
I hear they have a telephone number too.
You know what? You're right. Let's get the phone together here. Hopefully, I didn't change my password on the phone. Okay. And let's see if they're actually there. Okay, well, the phone's not dialing. Oh, there they are. These buttons are really, they've been under a lot of stress lately.
The number we are dialing for listeners who want to follow along at home, this is 1-800-BE-READY.
Well, don't tell them yet because they'll get there ahead of me the way these buttons are going.
Why don't you give them a number that they can call if they want to make some donations?
Hang on, we have to hear what the person's saying.
Sorry.
Hello, this is Secretary Tom Ridge of the Department of Homeland Security.
Tom, I can't believe
you.
Wait a minute, what happened to his voice?
English,
he hung up.
One now.
Tom, what happened to Tom?
Press one, he comes back.
Yeah, we want to hear it in American.
You are calling from a rotary phone. Please hold.
Just press one.
You may hear tips and receive your brochure.
I want to talk to Tom again.
Congratulations.
Oh, here he is.
You've taken an important step toward surviving in an emergency. The Department of Homeland Security are working hard to prepare our nation. But each of us must be ready to make it on our own, at least for a period of time, no matter where we are when disaster strikes. Stay on the line to receive our free brochure with simple tips that could save your life. Or go to www.ready.gov. You can do something to protect your family and yourself against the threat of terrorism. And the time to prepare is now.
If you'd like to receive our free brochure, Preparing Makes Sense, get ready now. Press 1. If you'd like to learn more right away, go online to www.ready.gov or press 2 for a few simple tips.
I think 2.
Yeah, 2.
I guess we can't get an operator. Let's try an operator first.
We're sorry. The number you entered is invalid. Please try again.
I want a live
If you'd
team.
Like to receive our
right.
free brochure,
Handy tips.
Fight against terror begins at home. With a little planning and some common sense, you can be better prepared. The first step is to begin a process of learning about potential threats so you are able to react during an emergency. Be prepared to assess the situation and to use whatever you have on hand to take care of yourself and your loved ones. Now, depending on your circumstances and the nature of the attack, you might do better by staying put, or it might be better to get away. You should understand and plan for both possibilities. Think about fresh water, food, and clean air. You will need a gallon of water per person per day and food that won't go bad. Keep basic emergency supplies like a radio, flashlight, extra batteries, and a first aid kit. Store heavyweight garbage bags and duct tape to seal windows, doors, and air vents from outside contamination. While there is no way to predict what will happen or what your personal circumstances will be, there are things you can do now.
To learn more about how to get ready now, go online to www.ready.gov.
All right, let's just let this time out.
Calling the Department of Homeland Security. Terrorism forces us to make a choice. We can be afraid, or we can be ready.
Well, wait, what's the choice? Which should we be, afraid or ready?
I figure hedge my bets. I am both afraid and ready.
Well, I'm ready to be afraid, but I'm afraid to be ready. How's that for a slogan?
That's good, but I don't think you should be afraid to be ready.
Uh-huh. Sometimes these little beeps turn into dial tones, you know.
Oh.
It does happen.
Well, let's wait.
I'm not saying that's what I'm waiting for. I'm just saying that's a fact. But it's a soothing sound. It's sort of the sound of our current administration, I think.
Isn't that the sound of the Russian...
Oh, listen to that.
The Russian phone melting and failsafe?
That is something else. So the fight against terrorism begins at home. So we can't do anything here. We have to go home first before we can do anything.
Or either that, or we move in here.
No, I don't think that would be welcomed by anybody.
and press 1.
Ready.gov. Well, if anybody finds anything interesting, now, has anyone looked over this site and found any... There's all kinds of threats that you're supposed to be prepared against now. Biological threat, chemical threat, explosions, just general explosions, nuclear blast, and radiation threat. It's like we're back in the 1950s, you know? I mean, the nuclear blast is not a dirty bomb. That's a real nuclear bomb they're talking about now. So the arms race is back somehow. Explosions is particularly good. They basically tell you, there's something about if you're trapped in debris, if there's a fire, if there's an explosion. But there is, the one I was looking at before, yeah, if you're in a moving vehicle, if there is an explosion or other factor that makes it difficult to control the vehicle, pull over, stop the car, and set the parking brake. And they spelled brake wrong, too. They spelled B-R-E-A-K, which tells you how literate these people are.
Ooch.
How do you like that? I found a spelling error just by looking at it now.
Is there information on what to do if you're trampled by a horse?
No, there isn't. But we'll get into that in a moment, because we have tips about that. But my point is, if there's an explosion or other factor that makes it difficult to control the vehicle, how do you pull over and stop the car and set the parking brake?
You have to steer into the explosion. Always steer into the explosion.
It's classic. I mean, there are so many ways to parody this. We just don't know where to begin. That's the problem. That's the problem we're having now.
I was reading one section about duct taping yourself into your house.
Uh-huh.
And the justification they give for this is that terrorists may put junk into the air.
Junk. Yeah. Right? The junk. Right. Well, that's the times we're living in now. It's really crazy. It really is. But back to the demonstration. Yes, we were talking about being trampled by horses. A lot of that went on this weekend. I don't know what your experience was, Mike. I had some funny experiences myself, but I understand a lot of people were getting very frustrating and terrorizing experiences.
Yeah, I was. My worst experience was being lied to by a police officer, which I'll get over it. But
was that the first time that ever happened?
No.
All right.
But other people were trampled by horses.
Mm-hmm.
And beaten and other nasty
things. Crazy thing is, none of that was necessary. Not that it ever is necessary, but, I mean, in this particular case, it would have been so incredibly easy to simply have the march like people wanted to do to First Avenue by the UN, and there would have been so much less of a traffic tie-up, but instead they decided to deny the march and just somehow expect people to get to the rally without walking to it somehow. I don't know what they were thinking. When I came up, 51st Street and Lexington Avenue, the number 6 stop, was closed. And that's obviously the most logical one to get off at. So they just closed it off, so everybody had to go to different stations. And then, when you were there, the police were keeping you from getting across Lexington Avenue and across 3rd Avenue. And, I mean, how frustrating is that when you can't even get to the place that everybody is rallying at? It was, you know, extremely frustrating. There was no reason to do it. Now, the first time on 3rd Avenue, it was pretty simple. The cops were blocking the street, and a bunch of people just went into, I think it was a coffee house, and had a side door and just emerged right behind the cops that were blocking the street, and they were none the wiser. The second time, we had some help with from a BAI listener, in fact, who I won't go into details so he doesn't get into trouble, but he had the right kind of ID and led us through the police barricade, and thanks very much to that person for helping out. And we made it to the rally. We made it to the rally, and there was so much space there. They had wide open streets. They were keeping people from filling the area, and it was just completely unnecessary.
Well, just for theoretical purposes, as far as trampling defense against horses, the idea is to swarm the horse. If the horse has no momentum and can't move, it can't trample you.
Mm-hmm. Poor horse.
Well, it's not the horse. You know, the horse is being told what to do.
You know,
the horse doesn't want to trample anybody, I'm sure, but. It's basically the horse's rider saying, okay, you know, plow into the crowd now. And there was no the crowd that I saw was completely nonviolent and non-disruptive. I don't think any Starbucks were attacked any place, you know, and there was just no need for it.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm the type of guy who probably would believe in shooting most of the demonstrators, but even I was appalled by the police tactics.
You're the kind of guy who would believe in shooting all the demonstrators?
Come on, I'm the token right-wing Republican here. Give me a break.
Well, I don't think any right... I mean, there are right-wing Republicans at the demonstration. You know, that's the thing that bothers me is how, you know, people view this as a leftist thing. It's not. It's
okay,
everybody is, you know, like I said a bunch of weeks ago, everybody hates John Ashcroft. Doesn't matter if you're left or right.
Let me rephrase then.
Yeah, you might want to rephrase that a little bit.
Although I strongly disagreed with the tenor of the demonstration, I think that the police were absurd and overreacted.
What was the tenor of the demonstration?
It's inadvertently giving aid and comfort to enemies of the United States, to wit, Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi government.
Anytime we criticize our own president, we're giving aid
indirectly.
Indirectly, but that's what I'm saying. Indirectly, anytime we criticize or go against the administration, I mean, that argument can be used all the time, and been used.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen people in the government saying that people from Iraq are organizing these demonstrations. I mean, it's actually like the communist threat from the 1950s all over again.
A cogent argument against the administration's policies is fine, but this is a rabid demonstration of which many, I would say the majority of people there, had no idea of any of the details involved in the Iraq situation.
Well, how many people do you think really know all the details in the Iraq situation?
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd like to know all the details. In fact, that's part of what this whole thing is about, is trying to get more details. Where is the evidence? We keep saying we're going to prove that Saddam Hussein was somehow connected to al-Qaeda and 9/11. But, you know, the evidence was never even provided to link al-Qaeda to it. There really wasn't I believe there was some responsibility, but there was the smoking gun was never produced. And it could have been. You know, it could have been. So this administration has been relying on keeping information from people, and it really flies in the face of what people want. People want information, they want disclosure, and I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing a real conflict.
Well, I'm not going to debate this now because this isn't the point I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make was that I think the police got way carried away violating people's right to free assembly and freedom of speech.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, they had orders to do this.
Well, obviously.
And that's where the real problem lies. They were told, make sure people don't do this. Things that people have rights to do.
Passing around a digital camera with a photograph on it. Do you maybe want to describe what this is?
Hold it up to the microphone so our listeners can see.
Can our listeners see?
No. Those are bobblehead dolls. Bobblehead dolls of Bush, Cheney, and Ashcroft there.
Yeah, and this is at the demonstration, or is this at
Twitter? No, I'm sorry, it was at my demonstration.
Okay. Well, how about that? Wow. Well, you know, it was just really cool because I got the feeling at the end of it all that, first of all, I thought there were so much fewer people there. I thought there was only like 30,000 people in the demonstration. And in actuality, there was, several hundred thousand people in all spread throughout the various streets that they were allowed to go down. And the reason why it seemed smaller was because everybody was being segregated and kept apart from each other. So it really had a demoralizing effect in many ways because people thought that there weren't as many people here as there really were. And that's the kind of thing that, that I guess it's a tactic of some sort. But the thing that I really found encouraging was the BAI presence there. You know, and I don't know if you guys were there, if you saw a lot of people were wearing BAI signs, and everybody was listening to the radio station because we were broadcasting it live. And this was like one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen the station be involved in, because here we were covering a major news event in our city that nobody else was covering, at least not to that extent. And the people in the crowd knew about it. They knew to tune to this station. They knew to listen. They knew this is where they could get reliable information and the facts as to where things were taking place. And I think it was a really a proud day for us. And I'm very happy to have been part of this place throughout the years. So that's the kind of thing that I think we need to be doing more of in the future is covering things like this.
I heard two things that I can't confirm, but I heard that the police set up barricades like at 9 a.m. before the protests started. So,
well, they probably set up barricades at 4 a.m. I mean, they're known to do that.
Plus, I heard there were sharpshooters on the buildings.
Uh-huh. Well,
it's kind of weird because if it's a protest, which is a major crowd, uh-huh, what are they going to shoot?
I don't know.
Well, they were carrying Geiger counters as well, whatever that was for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's more understandable than a single bullet at somebody, shooting a single bullet at somebody.
Well, they were obviously afraid of terrorism happening inside the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look, if we're on the side of the terrorists, as you know, they like to say, if we're aiding and abetting them, why would the terrorist attack us? You know, it flies in the face of their own logic. It doesn't really make any sense, and I think it's absurd, the whole notion. Basically, I think it's absurd, the whole notion that you need to get a permit to march in the first place. If people want to demonstrate about something, they should just demonstrate about it, and that's part of freedom of speech. And yeah, okay, you might mess up traffic a little bit, That's the way it goes sometimes, you know? You live with this. It's like a snowstorm. Which, by the way, the snowstorm cost more to the city than the demonstration.
$20 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And it got better coverage, literally
and
figuratively.
It sure did. It sure did. Think about that. The snowstorm was covered, you know, programs, Jeopardy was preempted. How do you think about that, Jim?
That bothers me.
That's a crime against humanity right there. And you know, they devoted more time to demonstrations overseas, which granted got more people, but still there was this huge thing with hundreds of thousands of people right here in New York, and they didn't break away from programming to cover that. We did. So and we didn't cover the weather. So that shows you the priorities, and that shows you why you should call this radio station to support it, because that's why we're here tonight. Well, it's not the only reason why we're here tonight. We're here every week covering all kinds of events, whether they're technological, social, or all kinds of different areas in our changing culture. That's what we've evolved into over the years. And this radio station is here to provide that voice. And it provides a voice to so many different people. Our listeners certainly understand that. Now, we have some new ideas, new things that we're planning and doing. And that's part of what we're offering here tonight for people who call in. Although I should point out, you know, the real reason to call in is to support the radio station, but we like to contribute something ourselves. So what we do is we tend to bring things to the station and say, okay, you know, this is what we can give people who pledge a certain amount.
What is the telephone number so people can make these
good
calls
point.
Of which you speak?
212 is the area code, which you must dial now, even if you're in 212. From what I understand.
1212.
You have to dial the 1? Has anybody tested that yet?
Yes.
Yeah, and what happens if you don't dial the 1?
You don't get through?
I don't believe that. Okay, 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. Now, before you call, this is what we are offering today. These are things that we are creating even as we speak. They do not yet exist. They are going to exist in the next couple of weeks, and we're not sure if they're going to exist for much longer than that, because, you know, it may be a very limited thing. The first thing that we have come up with, and this is something that Jeff and I are going to be talking about, is a brand new T-shirt specifically for Off the Hook.
That's right.
Ooh. It's never been done before. Never been done before. We've had 2,600 shirts. We've had, you know, various Hope shirts. But this is an Off the Hook exclusive radio show shirt. What do you think about that? Now, you can ask what it looks like. We don't know because we haven't made it yet. But we are making it. We are committed to making this shirt, and we are going to be making it in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then it'll be printed up, and then it will be, it'll go to the people who pledge tonight for a pledge of $75. They will be the first people to get the shirt, the first people in the world, and maybe the last people in the world, too, because, I don't think it's going to be, you know, ugly or anything like that, but, it's possible that, we just won't want to make any more after that point. I don't know. All kinds of reasons could happen. We could be at war, you know, and we might not have time to make T-shirts. We might have to, make bullets or something. I don't know. Well, you know, you'll have to pitch in. You know that, Mike. Don't scoff at this.
You OTH bullet.
Have to volunteer our time.
Bandages.
I leave the show.
Shirts can be made into bandages.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I've seen the shirt in a vision. It's a nice shirt.
In a vision, you've seen it? Okay, well, if you subscribe to Jim's visions, and you know that they're in all kinds of different colors and things. But for $75 pledge, you'll get that brand new T-shirt plus, I believe it's your choice of a video of Freedom Downtime or a one-year subscription. And what you need to do is tell the person picking up the phone at the other end which you want. It's either one or the other. Freedom Downtime or a one-year subscription to 2600. That's in addition to the Off the Hook T-shirt. Pledge of $75. We have no calls on the line. Now, come on, that's not a bad deal. That's not a bad deal. Now, for those of you who know that's what you want to pledge, and you don't want to pledge anything more than that, please give a call now, 212-209-2950. And once a couple of phone lines start ringing, then we'll go into the second pledge level that we have, which is, even more spectacular, but a bit more expensive. 212-209-2950. We only do this a couple of times a year. Actually, I think three times a year. And it's necessary. It's necessary because of what you don't hear. You don't hear commercials. You don't hear all kinds of sponsorship announcements like you hear on just about every other radio station in town. What you do hear is information and dissent of all sorts and questions and answers that you just will not hear anyplace else. 212-209-2950. That's not a bad response. We have about 5 calls on the line. So keep those coming in while we talk about the second premium level.
Before we do that, we should also point out that there may be people out there who can't afford $75. And really, any pledge helps.
Yeah, any pledge helps. Just because you don't get the shirt or the film or the subscription does not mean that we are going to chastise you or call you losers or anything like that. We want you to participate in whatever way you can. And if it's a $10 pledge, you know, a $20 pledge, whatever you can afford, every little bit is going to help this radio station. That's how we've gotten where we are today. The station's been around since 1960. That's, you know, 43 years of WBAI in New York. And every day of that has been because of listeners like you. Every day. It's unprecedented achievement. And never before has it been so important. We have so many different things going on at once. We have all different topics and projects to work on, and it's really, I feel like we're at the beginning of something really really cool and productive. But yeah, there's a lot of bad things going on. There's a lot of things to be scared about, but I feel like we're together. You know, I feel like there's a good group of people here. Last Saturday in the city at night, I was down in the village, and just all these people walking around with their buttons and their signs, just kind of like left over from the demonstration. You saw it at Javits Center or at the...
Actually, I saw it at the Port Authority.
At the Port Authority. And it felt like the whole city kind of went through this together. And it was a really wonderful, peaceful event for you know, the people that participated. Obviously, there were some people that didn't want to be peaceful, and they were wearing uniforms for the most part. But apart from that, I think a lot was accomplished. A lot was gotten out there. And, you know, it just feels really rejuvenating to have that happen and to know that this place played a part in it. This place really played a major part. The IMC played a major part in it. And all of us as individuals did. And that's why it's important to give a call. 212-209-2950.
It was also interesting to see that people were still carrying their signs. I mean, in the Port Authority, still wearing them on their chest.
Yeah.
Still no one was like, okay, it's over, it's done, we're throwing them out. Everybody kept moving with them.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looked like it was taking place there.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, the really cool thing, I think, was that Citigroup, the Citigroup Center, sort of turned into this staging area, the place where we have the 2600 meetings every month. I just managed to get over there. And it was hard to get back over there, too, because after the rally. By the way, rallies, I find rallies kind of dull. I really do. I just have to confess that right now. I just feel like, you know, people are, you know, constantly, like, lecturing, and it's all different things. And I think the interesting parts are the marches, and, of course, that's what was denied, and probably the city agrees that the interesting part is the march, which is why they denied it. But just walking through the streets, seeing all the different people with all the different signs and ways of expressing themselves, that, to me, was the real highlight. And then after walking all the way back to 3rd Avenue, where the Citigroup building is, and going into the lobby area where we have our meetings, it was filled with demonstrators. People just kind of coming in from the cold and resting, having a cup of tea. It was so cool seeing people doing that. And, you know, they weren't being hassled at all. They were just, you know, kind of regrouping there. And that's where I really felt like this was the whole city was sort of behind this and you know, together. You know, it's probably kind of a naive thought, but it did feel kind of good.
One thing that really shocked me is that we kind of almost unintentionally stopped traffic on 3rd Avenue. Just there were so many people that we filled the street, and mm-hmm. the cars had nowhere to go. And so there were, you know, a post office truck and a city bus and some private cars just kind of stuck there, and they weren't upset.
Well, I saw some people who were upset, but, you know, you can't really... I mean, who was driving in a situation like that, knowing there was a huge demonstration? There were even signs up on the expressway saying, demonstration Saturday, don't drive on the east side. And people drove on the east side, and they got stuck in traffic, and, you know, that's what happens. But if I was in a car then, knowing that was going on, you know, you were part of history. You know, yeah, it sucks. You won't get where you want to go, you know, in a timely way, but it's history, and, you know, recognize it for that. And, yeah, for the most part, I think people were pretty tolerant of what was going on. One thing, though, that was very dangerous when we were crossing 3rd Avenue, we had the walk sign. And there were no cops around, so people were starting to walk. But there were cops on the other side of the street waving buses through at full speed without having any kind of contact with the pedestrians who were trying to cross the street. So I saw a couple of people almost get plowed into by speeding buses that were going through red lights. So that was not very cool. And that's something that I think they really need to take a good look at, you know, in their priorities. Okay, 212-209-2950 is the phone number. Thanks for the people who have called in already. Now, we have a second pledge level, and that pledge level is $125. For that, you get something that is really a monumental project for us. And it's something based on the feedback that we got from listeners to this radio show, and we asked a few weeks ago, what kinds of things do you want to see? And, Seraf, do you want to talk about this a little bit?
We're going to be giving away some new hooded sweatshirts with a brand new 2600 design on them.
That's right. That's right. Hooded sweatshirts. This is a first for us. We've never ventured into this world before. I mean, we've been in this world before, but we've never actually provided the hooded sweatshirts. You know, we've hung out with lots of people that wear hooded sweatshirts. Some of us have worn hooded sweatshirts ourselves. And it's, you know, it's every bit as dangerous as you might think, you know, both mentally and physically. But now we are... Oh, you have one. Jeff, I never knew you were the hooded sweatshirt type. That's... Why don't you put it on? Let's see what... You have a skull on the front of it. Why do you have a skull on the front of it? Are you part of some heavy metal cult?
No, I got a good deal on it. This is the actual the logo from The Punisher.
How about that? Are you The Punisher?
I've been known to be the Punisher.
All right. Well, for a pledge of $125, you can get your own brand new, unique 2600 hooded sweatshirt, which right now are in super limited quantities. They haven't yet been produced, but they will be. You have our word on that. And I'm not sure, you know, if we're going to continue producing them. It depends, I guess, on the kind of reaction we get tonight. Yeah, actually, the people here can decide if we're going to make more of these for the future, for the untrodden masses out there that aren't listening right now. Now, for that, you will also get, it's not over yet, you will also get a copy of the film Freedom Downtime, the Kevin Mitnick documentary, which came out a year or so ago. And in addition to that, you'll get a subscription to 2600 magazine. If you already have a subscription, we'll just add on a year. All that for $125, 212-209-2950. That's a really good deal. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck there. But most importantly, even if you weren't getting a thing, the important thing is to call up and pledge support for the radio station, because that's what makes this magic happen. And there's been a lot of magic lately. And I feel like it's only going to get better.
On behalf of the listeners of WBAI-FM 99.5, I want to ask, what's on the hooded sweatshirt? Obviously not the Punisher logo.
Well, no, we're not going to put a skull and crossbones on it, but it's going to be... Well, we don't have the exact logo quite worked out. That we're hammering that out right now, but it's definitely going to be a 2600 logo of a sort. It'll say 2600 on the front, and we're not sure if it's going to say something else in addition or have a graphic, but it's... When you're walking around with your hooded sweatshirt friends, you will be accepted. Let's put it that way. You will not be chastised. We're not going to put a picture of like Barney the dinosaur or something like that on it. Although I understand that's accepted these days in some goth clubs. But never mind that. 212-209-2950. I see two calls on the line. We should have 10 calls on the line. We have two pledge levels, $75 for the new off-the-hook T-shirt, along with your choice of a subscription or a video of Freedom Downtime. And for $125, you can get the hooded sweatshirt, the brand-new 2600 hooded sweatshirt, plus both the video and the 2600 subscription. It's really quite remarkable. A couple of shows ago, we were just giving away the 2600 video of Freedom Downtime. And that in itself, if you have not seen the film, that's an educational thing to have. We could easily be giving that away for a $100 pledge by itself. There many times videos are pledged for at least that amount. It's not, you can buy the video for less, certainly, but it's the radio station you're pledging for. And you're becoming one of our sponsors, as opposed to having Exxon or Pepsi or one of those companies be our sponsors. 212-209-2950. I've successfully driven off all the calls from the lines, so we need to get some more people calling in. 212-209-2950. Pledge your support to Off the Hook, to the radio station. Keep this kind of thing coming your way, and... don't be afraid. I mean, people say they want hooded sweatshirts, and I haven't seen anybody calling in for the hooded sweatshirts yet. We should, if this is going to work, we have to have a lot of people calling in to try these things out.
What is the telephone number? I've forgotten already.
You forgot. 212-209-2950. That is our phone number.
Okay.
It's very, very simple to write it down, call your friends, have them call in.
You have to dial one first, regardless of the country.
Yeah, you have to dial one first. That's right.
Well, the weird thing is, yesterday I was calling Queens, and you didn't have to dial the area code. I was calling from Staten Island to Queens, and I didn't dial the area code. I forgot to do that, and it went through perfectly.
Wow. Well, that just goes to show you, anything is possible.
You know, it's possible that eventually it may be something like 2120. There's an article here, Leo.
There's an article in the new, Wired. It's in the Wired website. In fact, it's dated yesterday morning. It basically says that they're thinking of adding two digits to phone numbers, like in the next, by 2005.
Well, this is what they should have done to start with. Right. They wouldn't have had to get all these crazy area codes if they had added digits in the first place.
Ironically, it's the phone companies blaming the voice over internet people, where a couple of weeks ago somebody called up and said that they get numbers and various area codes for a relatively cheap price. And they say that this is eating up numbers even faster than cell phones and pagers and lines dedicated to computers have. So now the phone companies are accusing these companies of eating up the numbers at a high rate, and, oh, we're going to have to go to another numbering scheme. And the proposal from the voice over internet people is add a digit after the area code. Gee, I've heard that before.
Yeah, now right here you've heard that. And maybe if people, the North American Numbering Authority, had been listening to this radio show, we wouldn't be having to dial all these extra digits.
Well,
we'd have a scheme that made some sense.
This one has two digits.
Two digits. Well, yeah, but the thing is, you know, we have, you know, nobody knows where area code 585 is. You know, nobody here knows.
Someone knows.
You know.
I know, because I've even brought this up before on this show, and nobody, you know, remembers where area codes are anymore.
Where
it used
is
to be.
It?
It's somewhere in upstate New York.
Ah.
Yeah. 212-209-2950. We have one call on the line. We can do so much better than that, folks. No matter what you can afford to pledge, it's important that we hear from you, that we make this a successful fundraising drive for this radio station, because we're poised on the precipice of all kinds of craziness ahead. I mean, we're at the verge of war. We're at the verge of the economy falling apart. We're at the verge of all kinds of draconian laws being passed. We have this new thing called Patriot 2 we're going to get into in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, one thing that we have that's good is this place to talk about them, this place to spread information, to communicate ideas, to take your phone calls, all kinds of things like that. And believe me, this place will not exist into the future if certain people have their say. If things like Patriot 2 go forward, if things like Homeland Security continue to gather ignorance and strength, you're going to see all kinds of controls and restrictions that you have not ever seen before. And we are one of the voices here that are crying out to get people's attention, and we need to pay bills in order to be able to do that. Radio stations in New York City, 50,000-watt radio stations in New York City, are very expensive to maintain and even more expensive to buy. So God forbid we ever lose a place like this. It's not something you're going to get back very quickly or easily. It's you know, they launch new kinds of technology all the time. They have the satellite services, XM, Sirius, but you don't hear Pacifica on those. You know, even though there's new technology, they don't permit these voices to be heard. So you better believe if these radio stations are ever taken over by some other entity, they're not going to be given back. They're not going to be just handed over to alternative voices. They're going to be taken over by the same corporate interests, Clear Channel and whatnot. You're just going to hear one side of everything. So that's why it's important to preserve what you have while it's here, and we're still here. 212-209-2950. Four calls on the line. That's good news. That's good news. We need to build it up a little bit. We're on for 2 hours tonight. We're on until 9 o'clock. We're going to have some special guests joining us after the hour, and we look forward to that. We don't want to keep them waiting, though. We need to drive the tally figure up a little bit so we can move forward and do all kinds of fun things. Again, two pledge levels, $75 for the new off-the-hook T-shirt, plus your choice of video or subscription, and $125 for the hooded sweatshirt, the 2600 hooded sweatshirt, brand new, and a video as well as a subscription, plus any amount is acceptable to help us out, to help us reach our various goals that we have.
I believe a basic membership is $50 and student and low income at $25 for people who can afford that. It really helps.
Yeah, 212-209-2950. That's the number to call. And we always get, this is our only show during this fundraiser, we always get people that call in or that write in after the show has aired. They listen to it on the internet. And they want to pledge then? Well, you know, you can't. I mean, yeah, you can pledge to the radio station, but you can't pledge to Off the Hook. And we're on once. This is tonight. This is the only night that we're going to be on during this fundraiser. So it's really important that people call in now, 212-209-2950. And Junce is here. Junce has just walked in from New Jersey. How you doing, Junce?
Pretty good.
Yeah. trouble with the traffic?
Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to get into the city tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people trying to get out of New Jersey.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. No offense to our New Jersey listeners who also need to dial 212-209-2950. Now, Junce is...
None taken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're from New Jersey. Everyone's from New Jersey these days.
Not everyone.
All right. Well, a lot more people. But Junce is one of the main, if not the main person behind the web streaming, not only of Off the Hook, but of WBAI in general. So a great debt of gratitude is owed to him. Now, Jess, I guess you can applaud if you want. It's always nice to do that. All right. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but for a couple of years now, really ever since the coup here at WBAI, 2600 and 2600 Friends have been providing the streaming 24/7 for WBAI, so people around the world can hear this. Now, that kind of thing costs a ton of money if you do it the right way. But if you do it the hacker way, you can figure out ways, and I'm not talking about anything illegal here, I'm talking about ways of just using technology and being clever about it. And, for instance, now we have our stream going out to various... How does it work now, Jens? Why don't you tell us how the show works?
Well, we're split up among a couple of different servers, so where it would take, you know, you'd have to spend several hundred dollars a month for one big server, you can spread it out a bunch, among a bunch of smaller ones, for free.
So right now, you have a radio in your house. Is that how it works?
Yeah, basically. It's feeding into a sound card on a computer that's feeding a signal out to one of the servers, and that gets replicated to all the other servers, and you're basically connecting to one of those servers and picking up a copy of the stream.
So it's like a chain.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and so instead of having one centralized place that charges us a lot of money to maintain, we're basically kind of just jumping around and everybody's sort of pitching in.
Basically, yeah.
And we get a huge capacity that way.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Many hundreds of people can listen at one time.
Yep.
And during this radio show, in fact, lots of people are, you know, constantly listening. We get the stats, and we know that we have several hundred people from around the world listening.
Yeah.
And those people, by the way, can also be calling country code 1-212-209-2950 and pledging. Well, it looks like a lot of people are calling, which is really good news. Now, to keep this going, it's, you know, I think a lot of people take it for granted, and we've had some difficulties. We had a power failure out in Denver, which, believe it or not, affected this whole thing, because Digital is one of our people out there who provides a great service to us by having a stream up there. And then things bounce over to Live365, which has recently started asking for usernames. We're trying to figure out an alternate way so people don't have to register usernames. But we're getting a lot of complaints from people. Some of them are kind of nasty. And, you know, I think people just need to realize this is a volunteer effort. This is something that people are doing out of the goodness of their hearts. And if there are people out there that can help, help make this work, yeah, call Jeff's phone. That's that's the best way to get our attention. Jens, what is it that we need right now that would make things so much easier?
We need people with servers with lots of bandwidth. Uh-huh. I mean, a couple of weeks ago during the UN Security Council meeting, we were using almost 7 megabits per second of bandwidth, and that's a lot.
That's a lot.
One is 1.5 megabits, so that's a lot of bandwidth, and that's what we need. We need people who have access to these big pipes to give us a little bit of their bandwidth and help us spread it out.
And folks, that should tell you the importance of this radio station, that people are clamoring all around the world to connect to it, you know, and using all this bandwidth just to hear what's going on, and the fact that they can't tune to a local station in their area and listen to this, because it's so rare that you have to connect to a station in a distant city here in New York to hear what's going on in the world today. So if you want that resource to continue to be here, please give us a call, 212-209-2950. Pledge at one of the levels that we've announced. If you've forgotten what they are, just ask our tally people. They're very helpful. There's a whole lot of them down there, and they're all working very hard. It's you know, we pitch in as much as we can. We donate the merchandise. We donate the bandwidth. We have people donating their time. So what we are asking in return is for people to donate some finances to the radio station itself, none of which comes to us. It all goes to the radio station. It all keeps the radio station going, and that is vital. That is so vital in this day and age. Now, Jens, we basically, so right now we have your server running, feeding people from different parts of the country
right.
for this radio show. But normally it's just one server, and then that server bounces over to Live 365.
Right,
and that's so how things go during the normal business day.
Right, and that was fine for a while. Unfortunately, we're getting more and more popular. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad
thing. It's good. It's just it becomes more complicated.
Oh yeah. So now we're reaching the limits of what we can do with just that. So we really need either monetary donations, or we can go and pay for a service, or bandwidth. If you've got bandwidth, give us a server.
Yeah. So either one. But if you're calling with a monetary donation, the number is 212-209-2950. If you're calling with bandwidth, well, just email us, I guess, oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you there as well. But again, those donations are so important. It keeps this place going. And there's nothing better than knowing that the station is strong, that we're not prone to all kinds of silliness of being taken over and turned into, you know, a jazz station or something like that. We saw how real that threat was a couple of years ago. And this Saturday, in no small part thanks to our new general manager, Don Rojas, who I have not yet met, but I've heard nothing but good things about, and the spirit here is just unbelievably cool right now. It really is. And what we've seen on Saturday, just more recognition for this place than I've ever seen before at any place. I mean, you know, with the possible exception of the rallies to save WBAI, the rally in New York City for peace had such a BAI presence that it was awe-inspiring. It really was. And that kind of thing is made possible by listeners, obviously, keeping the place afloat. Not by Exxon, not by Mobil. Well, no, they're the same company, aren't they? Not by Exxon Mobil, and certainly not by any of the corporate interests that we are constantly talking about. Not by the phone companies, not by the Internet companies or anything like that. It's all done by our listeners. It's miraculous. 212-209-2950. Please give us a call. Also, you know, I've been journeying around the country for the past 5 weeks or so, calling in from various parts of the country, and it was really cool, you know, being able to hear the listeners, being able to take phone calls from Arizona and California and Amsterdam and all kinds of other places. And it's of course great to be back here. But the really important thing to remember is that radio needs to be local. Radio needs to be it needs to have local voices. Now, when you travel across the country, you spend a lot of time listening to the radio in the car, and you realize how much of this is not local anymore. How much of it is simply a satellite feed? Now, I have to admit, while driving, you know, in various places where the only voices you hear are religion, and you know, awful music, really bad music. In fact, I've got some religion to play, which I'll play in a future week because I don't have it with me today. But we heard something so crazy on the radio that we held our mobile phones up to the speaker of the car and called our voicemail so that we'd be able to save it somehow. And then we turned that into a wave so that we'll be able to burn it onto a CD and play it here. Hopefully it'll sound kind of interesting. But the craziest, you know, religious, fundamentalist, and, you know, closed-minded opinions being expressed. Not to say that all religious stuff is closed-minded, but when there's nothing else, when there's no alternatives, that's when it becomes really important to start thinking what else can be here, what else can be expressed. Now, I spend a lot of time listening to National Public Radio, which I usually am a big critic of because I don't like what they do to radio stations. I don't like the fact that they take over radio stations everywhere and shut down colleges, college voices, and turn them into, you know, classical stations or jazz stations. But when you're out there where there's no other voices, the occasional talk shows that they have really are a bastion of sanity. But it's not local. It's still not local. When we were driving around in parts of California, we came across some local talk shows on various radio stations. Not always, you know, things that we would agree with, but just, you know, local in character. At one point, there was rioting in Oakland because the Super Bowl was over and Oakland had lost. And that was the defeat riot. I imagine the victory riot would have been a lot worse. But we were listening to radio stations coming out of Oakland and hearing reporters who were trapped in their cars while people were basically, you know, smashing things all around them. And it was just, you know, it wasn't a very nice situation, but it was very engaging to be able to listen to what was happening live from the standpoint of somebody who was actually there. And that kind of thing happens so rarely these days. Usually what you have is you have a satellite feed coming from someplace of music from a DJ who's in a different city altogether, pretending he's in the same town, and there's just no connection at all to the listener anymore. We were driving in a heavy snowstorm in Minnesota late at night. We had no idea what the weather was like. We were calling those stupid numbers they have on the side of the road on the blue signs that say, on your side of your phone, dial this. And it wasn't giving any information that was helpful. And then finally we found a local station that was taking phone calls from plow drivers. That's right. Snow plow drivers were calling into this radio station, giving reports on where the roads were slippery or plowed or not plowed. And it was just so refreshing to hear something like that. Not the same voices over and over again, not the same music over and over again. Local voices, local angles, you know, local perspective. And it's a vanishing breed. Local radio is such a vanishing breed. Now, BAI covers a lot of national, international news, but we always have this New York bent to things. And that's something I hope we never lose. When something is happening in this city, we cover it. And in order to do that, we need to be able to continue operating, obviously. It doesn't take much to figure that out. And that's why we need support. 212-209-2950. Yes, Jeff?
I don't know if people are aware that this is their radio station. This is the people's radio station. And just like when you own your own car, you've got to maintain it. You've got to change the oil. You got to put a little money in it. Same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to maintain the radio station so it performs for us, just like this past weekend.
Yeah, that's right. You know, imagine if we, you know, weren't around for that, if we were, you know, playing canned music or something, it would have made a real difference, a big difference in the way things went. Radio can be a very useful tool. That's why, you know, it's always the first thing to be controlled when governments change or whenever something bad is happening. So please make that phone call, 212-209-2950. Let's go into some other stories that have been happening in the time. We haven't been on last week. In fact, we won't be on next week either. I should point out, though, that there's an additional radio program now that we just started yesterday on a different radio station, WUSB in Stony Brook, called Off the Wall. Yeah, it's sort of like an expansion of Off the Hook, but not tied necessarily to technology. You can listen to that. In fact, you can listen to last night's episode on the Internet right now. Well, not right now, but after we're off the air. That's at www.2600.com, or you can tune in to WUSB, which is 90.1 FM in Stony Brook, New York, on Long Island. Gents, we set that up pretty quickly as well. Another web streaming deal there.
Yeah, one of the people who helps us out, Brilden, mm-hmm. he does one of the extra servers just for this show.
Yeah,
he picked up and basically rebroadcast the stream from USB stream.
And we had a lot of people listening. We had a lot of people from around the world. We got a call from England, in fact. And it's really cool to be able to merge these technologies together, radio and internet. And just bringing all these people that never would have communicated otherwise, so it's really a cool thing. So that's an indication of how we're, like, you know, starting new things, trying out new venues, and things like that. So we won't be on Off the Hook next week, but Off the Wall will be on next Tuesday. So we hopefully will be on every week in some context. It's not the same show; it's different, but it's still a voice for listeners. All right, so what other stories have been going on around the world? We have, well, Sheriff, we had some interesting pieces on the website this week.
Well, sure.
What's probably the most outrageous one?
Well, you know, there's this American journalist named Brian McWilliams,
mm-hmm.
who managed to fool not only his fellow journalists, but to fool the NIPC.
What's the NIPC?
It's the National Infrastructure Protection Center.
Oh, that sounds important.
And they're the ones who released that that new National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace, which was just released this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be sort of our first line of defense against all of these cyber attacks that although we've never actually seen one happen, I don't think, you know, are obviously a tremendous threat to all of us. And What this reporter did was he registered a domain name, HarkatulMujahideen.org. And Harkat al-Mujahideen is a well-known terrorist group. They've been around for many, many years and been involved in all sorts of real terrorist events all over the world.
But they neglected to register their website.
Right, of course. Uh-huh. And so he registered this domain name last year in an attempt to attract terrorists, real terrorists, to email him as part of a long-term investigation he was doing, and ultimately he hoped that it would culminate in an article where he would have all sorts of inside information or insight into how these people operate. And he went relatively undetected until just recently, and the reason that he was detected was because he kind of took things one step further. He claimed that his group was responsible for the slammer worm, which, for those who don't know, was the worm that really slowed down the internet for a day or so recently, attacking Microsoft SQL server. And so he said that his group was responsible for the worm, and he presented some dubious evidence to back that up. And all sorts of people jumped on the story, and the NIPC got involved. And from examining his website and examining these emails that he was sending to these reporters, they determined that he was the real deal, that he really was a representative of Harkat al-Mujahideen. Now, this is despite the fact that the group, you know, is located abroad, yet the emails from this reporter, who was claiming to be somebody named Abu Mujahid, were coming from America. Now, you see an email coming from America,
right,
from somebody claiming to be in Pakistan, you've got to think twice about that, but they didn't.
Uh-huh. So what was the effect? What wound up happening?
Well, the effect was that an article was published in Computer World saying basically that this terrorist group was responsible for this internet worm. And, of course, it was realized somewhat quickly after that, people realized how ridiculous it was, that that it wasn't true, and they pulled down the story, though we still have it on our website.
Now, that's interesting how, you know, stories just get eliminated when they realize that it's not quite true. It just never happened. Now, I bet if you contact Computer World and ask them, you know, what about this story? What story? There's no story. Never was a story. Well, we've got the story on our website, which I think is pretty funny. That was a cool story. There was another one, though, about an 11-year-old kid. Tell us what happened with this 11-year-old hacker kid.
We've gotten tremendous feedback for this one.